Recording. Awesome. I'll share my screen.
Thanks, Grace.
And here we are. Francesco, would you mind taking notes, please? Thank you. Cool. So June 7th, contributor call. Welcome, welcome for Basu. Housekeeping. Here's the antitrust notice. Everyone here should be familiar with it, but please follow it. As already mentioned, this meeting is being recorded. If you don't want to be recorded, drop off and you can look at the recording later. Please mute unless speaking, and then please feel free to use the raise hand feature from there. General announcements. I don't think we have any, maybe just a couple things, we don't have anything on the agenda, but Global Forum is in September in Dublin, if anyone's looking at attending that. And then a brief CIP program update is that basically no update since last time. Contracts are still with Linux Foundation's legal team. But I'll let you know. Hart, go ahead.
Hey, so just a quick update on that. So Tim wants us to move within the next couple of weeks on this stuff. So I've been trying to harangue our legal team, to put it politely. He also wanted us to start listing the mainnet maintainer contributions. So I was just going to ask if everybody had decided on a place or a format to put those. I know we talked about it last time. Did we want it on the wiki or on the GitHub or what?
I think Sally opened up a wiki page, but I've been on vacation and busy the past 2 weeks.
If she did, I didn't see it.
There's very little on it.
Okay. I will look for it then. Oh, perfect. Is it there? No. Okay, there it is. Perfect. All right. Well, I will. I'll go through that, and I may edit that, but that'll be great. So,
cool.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, and thank you all. And I'm sorry I have to drop. I am triple booked for this hour.
No worries.
So have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Thanks for showing up.
Cool. Any other announcements? Cool. Release updates. I just pulled this. It looks like the next one is June 14th. Justin, you're on point. Anything we want to discuss? I'll pull this up just while we're looking at it. In relation to releases.
I think the only thing.
Sorry.
Yeah. I think the only thing I wanted to throw out there is I might do this evening time, my time, because one of the Australian team members wants to be the. Stefan has himself listed there as the approver. So I was going to offer to work his morning, my evening to execute that release. Anybody see any concerns with that?
What's the day of the week? Is June 15th? It's not a Friday, is it?
I don't know. Let's see. Wednesday. It's a Wednesday. Yeah.
Wednesday. Yeah, that makes sense.
When are we going to get the next TTD for the next testnet? Will that be in this release?
We got it for Robston, so that is in this release. It's actually already merged to main.
Yeah, my understanding is that Friday's ACD call is supposed to be largely about merge and mainnet and so forth. So I'm guessing we'll probably maybe see like Sepolia or Gorley TTDs possibly.
And Sepolia is Cliff as well, right?
No, Sepolia is proof of work actually.
Okay.
It would be nice to get that in under the wire before the release if it's decided on Friday, but yeah, if not.
Well, now we know to deploy the contracts first before we announce a TTD.
Yeah, right. Especially on proof of work.
Cool. Okay. So it sounds like, you know, barring any surprises in this week's Friday call, ACD call, will be on track for the 15th, and no concerns or issues. And if anything does change, just let the group know in Discord from the Friday call. Whoops, I don't know. I clicked something, sorry. Cool, okay. Work updates, merge update. Justin, I believe you were the one who added this update in.
I did. So brief synopsis, mainnet Shadow Fork 6 went pretty well. Everybody made it through, everybody stayed in sync. We didn't see any of the errors that we previously saw. We were running both Bonsai and SnapSync on all of those nodes. So that was fun to have that validated. However, we were making proposals. We weren't including any transactions in them. Upon investigation, it turned out that we had a bug with regard to the transaction pool that prevented us from adding any transactions if our best peer was more than 100 blocks ahead. And it turns out when you're on a shadow fork, that's going to happen. So that happened. That's been addressed. And it kind of brought up the question on how best to disconnect from the proof of work network. So that's kind of where we're at right now. There are other teams have this problem as well. There's no clear strategy for disconnecting from the proof of work network. And the discussion is kind of ongoing in Discord. So that's just a status update. Just want to let people know where we're going. Other than that, we're feeling pretty good. So questions, comments, concerns?
Did we merge your PR that disables that following distance for transaction pool, the remote transactions inclusion?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And that has been redeployed to mainnet Shadow Fork 6. It sort of works. I'm not confident that we found all of the problems with it because the proposals that are coming through, while some of them do have transactions, others do not. And the ones that do have transactions seem awfully light. Like they have like four transactions in them, which doesn't quite pass the sniff test. So that's what I'm investigating today.
Yeah, there could be some 1559 dynamics at play there too.
Hmm. Hmm.
Justin, do you need any support for the blog post? Like in terms of, I don't know, anything?
Blog posts, what do you mean? Like with regard to the release?
Yeah, no, someone wrote here, once ready, working on a blog post on results. I don't know. Let me know if there is anything to I can help out.
Oh, okay. I did not write that, but...
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I will reach out to you if I need help with the blog post.
I think that's about checkpoint sync.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right. Does that mean Kareem is up then if we're going to talk about checkpoint sync?
Yes, I can talk about that.
All right.
Yeah. So I can give you an update. So we merge checkpoint sync on the main branch. So it's like it's the same behavior as snap sync, but the only difference is we are not downloading the block from the genesis, but we are downloading the block from a specific checkpoint. So it can be a month old block or something like that. The information of this block is in the genesis. So if a user want to verify, he can just check the genesis directly. And it's only available for mainnet, robstand, and girly, but it's easy to add this mechanism to another network. We just have to add a checkpoint section in the genesis of the network. So we did some tests, and with the current checkpoint and with the current size of the network, for mainnet, it's less than 6 hours to synchronize a node. And for girly, it's less, it's only 1 hour. So we will have to update this checkpoint regularly. So maybe not for every release, but regularly we need to update this checkpoint. And also we'll have to add a background mechanism to download all of the block before the checkpoint in order to support the network and in order to give this block to the other peers. It's all.
So for a little bit of context, Geth has a similar mechanism. They work off of a light client spec where they have a specific epoch number and they check the state. So this is not like we're creating a new idea of checkpointing stuff or doing some strange alt Bitcoin chain thing. This is something that other big clients do.
Yes.
How frequently
is
do you
there
think
like
you
a doc?
Update the checkpoint?
Sorry?
Grace.
Is there like a Gary doc first. We could read? Oh. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Gary, I was just wondering how frequently we think we would need to update the checkpoint. I think the Geth's checkpoints for the late client stuff, they haven't been updated in quite some time, right? Like they're over a year and change old?
November. Okay. So there is a checkpoint that's that they track on the mainnet, and that has been updated in quite a while. But they also update in their code itself. And the last time they updated it was in November. I think they like to update theirs when they have known security issues to encourage people to, you know, the stuff that might cause breakages. If we don't update it, we still get the same value of it. But I think we should consider it like quarterly or every 500,000 blocks or so. But I'm flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good like quarterly release strategy. Like it would make sense that on every quarterly release we would update the checkpoints.
Do we want to take an action on that, or do we want to just set a reminder somewhere?
I think we can add it to the release checklist.
Makes sense.
If we just take a note here, I can track it down and put it there.
Cool. Francesco, do you mind just tracking that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Cool. That's a good idea, though. Good idea. Yes. Make sure keeping it up to date. That makes sense. Cool. Anything else?
Is there a place where we can learn more about it?
Not yet, but Matt wants to create a blog post about that, and maybe we will also add this kind of information on the documentation. I don't know, Matt, if you have more content.
Yeah, no, I want to put together, I want to start with the docs and then go to a blog post. So I'm going to try to work with the docs team to get that lined up. It's like Kareem said, it's pretty straightforward. So it's just a matter of making sure that we outline all of the considerations.
Great, thank you.
Cool. I'm sorry, Helen. Yeah, no, you had a question. Should have directed over to you. No other work updates? Sounds good. Other business. So I don't think the automated security bot request, pretty sure this is old and there are no updates.
Do you want to talk about the audit?
Yeah. No. So just wanted to confirm though, on this one, we have the list for the code maintainers and non-code maintainers. I know Sally was owning a bunch of this over the last few weeks. Is there just any action on this bit that the group should discuss?
Yeah, so we went with the lightweight process and the vouching, and that's been committed and merged.
Cool. Okay.
I see. It's on the agenda there. Got it.
Yeah. No, Francesco, do you mind just maybe adding to the notes, just pulling the links from just the decision and confirming that this is where it is, and then we'll be sure to remove this from the agenda for the next call.
Sure.
Thank you. Cool. Security audit. Yes, Dana. Or any other questions on this one? Okay. Yeah. Security audit.
So they're going to kick off the audit on the 17th of June, which even though it's later than expected, we probably will wind up finishing the audit before the merge actually happens. 6 weeks puts us at the end of July, early August. And that is still before when we expect the merge to happen. So we'll be able to say we have an audited client before the merge. The last time they did an audit like this, they found some of the issues like the GraphQL. They found a denial of service attack. So they do some pretty good standard searches on it. And the focus on this one is going to be on the audit exposed APIs as a priority. So there's nothing to report yet because nothing has happened. If you get a ping to fix an issue that's audit related, we'll probably let you know how quiet you need to keep it. It'll be all reported in the end, but we're going to fix it as we find it, I think, is the current plan. So treat these like security disclosures if you get bug fixes related to it, which means they will be disclosed. So as you write your stuff down, realize that there will be an audience.
Are they going to be communicating on the Discord audit channel, or is it going to be mostly via email for the disclosures?
I've asked for the Discord. We'll see what happens when they start. Every audit's different. If it's email, I'll be sure to bring it into the Discord. I'm hoping it's going to be the Discord.
Yeah, it's definitely a better way of getting attention than throwing yet another email on the fire.
Cool. That sounds good. Yeah, and plus one to Discord. Any other comments or questions on the security audit concerns? Cool. Validator experience. Matt.
Yeah, I can talk about this quickly. This is in relation to some of the features that we've been developing more recently, targeting the kind of post proof of work world for Besu adoption. So I'm working with some of the Hyperledger marketing folks to try to set up a couple of different workshops and webinars around enterprise staking, what it means, and basically post-merge infrastructure in general. Nothing quite complete yet. We're looking to basically come up with a framework to engage the folks first and send out some kind of emails or informal feedback requests on like, what do people know about the merge? What do they know about public networks and staking? And then use that to kind of tailor a set of workshops that we are hoping to do right around the timing of the merge or a little bit soon after. So no big updates on this yet, but I wanted to showcase a lot of the hard work that all the teams have been doing around, you know, the merge and around some of the features related to proof of stake. So hopefully we can get the ball rolling on some more traction with this and maybe even bring in some of Hyperledger's, you know, enterprise focused people to be more interested in what's going on in mainnet. And if not, then maybe they'll learn a little bit more about public networks regardless. That's all for that for now. No major updates quite yet. If you want to help me make those workshops, let me know. I will need some support, but for the most part, I'll be handling it with David.
I can help organizing that if there's a need, maybe on Crowdcast or something.
Thank you, Francesco.
Yeah, that'd be cool. On that note, there is just Anton's doing a workshop, and I don't remember when it is or if it, I feel like it might have been this week or next week, but just on that note, if you have folks that are interested in getting started or kind of learning how to run Besu, that workshop is probably a great resource. Apologies, I don't have the link in front of me, so I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'll share it in the chat. I think it's coming up in next month, actually. So there's a little time.
Next month. Oh, there is time. Okay, good to know.
Pass this here. But yeah, if you want to share this on any of your networks that would be receptive, it's specifically around, you know, using kind of extensions of Besu, but at the same time, there's definitely a lot of talks about configuration and setting up a Besu network and then talking through extensions to the Besu network and using Splunk and things like that. But I pasted the information in the chat so you can take a look.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Does anyone know if Antoine needs any help with that? This is the Antoine thing, right? The one that he's running?
Yep. That's what it's what he's running. I don't know if he needs help with it.
Okay. I figured he would have reached out if he did, but I'm super psyched for it. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. right. Thanks.
Yeah, same. Yeah, no, I think it'll be really great. But yeah, I mean, feel free to reach out to him. But he hasn't, I haven't seen any messages or, you know, gotten the request that he's looking for specific help. Cool. Yeah, thanks. I think I misread that and thought it was June 14th, not July 14th. Sounds good. Metrics, if the group doesn't disagree, I might skip that today and just go right to the roadmap. Matt, you're probably the right person for this.
Yes, let me pull up the roadmap so I don't make any silly mistakes. I made just some quick changes around. We didn't have a slotted in time for cleanup post merge. If you scroll down, actually, Grace, I think everyone's kind of on board around 22.5. There's not much change besides kind of full steam ahead on some improvements to the client, as well as just merge related activity and spec stuff. So that's the bug fixes and testing that we're doing now. That's the Hive 2 testing that we're doing with the EF test suites and other things like that. So really just continuing full steam ahead around the merge for 22.5 and any subsequent releases. For 22.8, I added the first bullet here around merge and post-merge cleanup. I anticipate that there will be a significant period where we need to kind of take a breather and focus on alleviation of some an accumulation of issues, I'd say, and just going to reinvestigate some of the work that we had done around new specs and functionality to make sure that everything is kind of rock solid. So, you know, we're seeing an uptick in folks that are using Besu, which is great. So, you know, we've seen significant improvement of network share based on our previously small numbers, but still, and I want to make sure that all of these new folks that continue to start using Besu and start testing out have good experiences. And that includes a lot of this cleanup. So focusing some sprints on tech debt reduction, I think is valuable. I think it's what we're going to look to prioritize right after the merge. While we do some of the investigation about what's next, I don't think we need to rush into anything dramatic following the merge. We'll take a breather. It's also going to be either the end of the summer or the beginning of the fall, and I anticipate people will want to take time for themselves as well. So looking to keep, again, focus on optimizations and improvements for the short term while we determine kind of what's next. And that also includes some of the upcoming hard forks that are potentially coming down the pike after the merge. There is Shanghai that is probably not going to be slated for the 22.8 release, is just my guess based on the timing. Shanghai's been pretty much pushed. If you scroll down a little bit, Grace, it's down there. And again, supporting some of the different client enhancements that we've been thinking about kind of for a while and now have time to prioritize while we do general discovery on things like modularization and some of the other use cases that have cropped up since the previous focus shift around the merge. So that's all I have on the roadmap. I see Helen here is raising her hand though, and I'm sure she might have some input.
Hey, yeah, thanks, Matt. So if you kind of like scroll up a bit, under the now section, you might have seen a bit more update there. Kind of took out some other stuff that's been lingering around, like Snap Sync. We already released it, it's out there. So we removed that part. What's added is so there's like two other streams of work that's happening within Besu. So one work stream is investigating how we might improve peering. So the goal is like, first, like, let's kind of define what makes a good peer. How do we find them fast? Hopefully that's going to allow Besu to sync faster and to the accurate state faster. So there's a workstream group of engineers, maintainers, you know, investigating like how we might do that. So that could be like improving peer discovery speed. Currently experimenting around reputation scoring system. So how do we reward versus punish good or bad behaviors from peers? And how does that affect us finding good set of peers? So kind of like brainstorming through what that means and then experimenting there. We'll definitely would love to kind of share with the wider community what our experiment results are like and have, you know, other maintainers also kind of like chime in How can we make this a bit more robust? Another work stream is improving node operations. So what we realized, there are a bunch of folks who are operating nodes. So we're kind of calling them node operators. And we want to make them help them like scale nodes faster, since they're like operating a bunch of nodes together. So doing some investigation there as well, trying to like, how can we help them scale fast with lower cost, perhaps. So still in a very early stage, we're just ideating through different ideas, but as more kind of ideas, as it gets firmer, would love to kind of share more during these calls in the future. And I think Matt already touched upon it, like in under the next section, the modularization of Besu. I know like some maintainers have been talking about this a lot. So we're still also in the early stage. We're trying to understand like what's the benefit, what's the pros and cons to it, what's the goal that we would like to accomplish as part of this. So starting early conversations here, and ultimately would love to see the release cycle drop for Besu and wider adoption of Besu. So stay tuned. We'll keep y'all posted. So yeah, those are the few points that I wanted to share.
Awesome. Any questions or comments?
I have a silly question about the roadmap. The .5 and .8, did we go for a different release cadence? And I just missed that.
No, I noticed that too. I think it got screwed up at some point based on some of the ways that we've moved it around. I'll double check against what we have and update it. I think that you're right, that it is wrong. I'm not sure.
I was expecting 7, 10, 1.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I'll fix it. Small update.
Sorry, that was me tinkering around. As I was updating, I was like, oh, how about I increment them all? Newbie mistake. Sorry.
No problem. They're tied to the month, Helen, of the release.
Oh.
The numbering.
Clever. Month. Very clever.
I was just wondering, there was some talk about maybe having a release versioning system more like Teku does, where it's just your month rather than your quarter. But yeah, I just thought maybe that had happened and I wasn't aware of it.
It's always been year month. My initial pitch was year dot frequency of release like RAL. But when you do year month, you make it clear just how current it is. But we did decide at the time to stick with the quarterly releases because we do, at least notionally, we do more debugging. We put more speculative stuff in the quarterly releases than we do the biweekly releases. So that gives us a few extra weeks to shake it out. But I know a lot of projects that they decide their number the day they do the release, and that determines the day month. So we have that flexibility. We had to go to the TSC to get Calver approved, but because Calver is approved, we can, you know, we're not fixed on the 1, 4, 7, 10. We can move it around if we want to, if it fits us better. We could go to 3 times a year. We could, you know, change the number every month. It really doesn't, you know, we have a lot of flexibility.
I personally am good with the 1, 4, 7, 10. I like that it aligns with, you know, kind of Ubuntu's and release strategy. It's kind of a well-known Calver sort of strategy.
Cool. Yeah, good call. And Helen, we could share the Calver version, the Calver like proposal, just to, you know, just if you're bored, why we chose that release cadence. Anything else on the roadmap? I know I flipped back. Yeah, we used to do semantic versioning, Helen, but we switched to calendar versioning a little over a year and a half ago. One thing that I just wanted to call out, that just to say good job, everybody, is it really seems that the new feature that removes pruning is really popular, and that's really exciting. And it seems like that's, you know, been a big hit for users, and just wanted to say that's really cool. So congrats.
Yeah, people love Banzai.
Yeah, Banzai, yeah.
Great work, Benny and Kareem.
Yeah, awesome work. Cool. Matt, is there, do you want to talk about the roll-up section here?
Not too much quite yet. Yeah. It's, again, this is definitely a post-merge activity, and this is part of a larger kind of multi-chain strategy that I wanted to bring up with the contributors at some point, but it's not quite baked yet. Essentially, you know, if we move, if we do decide to, you know, in the post-merge world to think about modularization multi-chain more seriously, what does that look like? Where does Basu fit into that equation? Do we choose to support rollups? Do we choose to support, you know, other EVM L1s? You know, what does this all look like? Do we make it modular and then say go to town for other contributors? Again, it's very early days, but we do. You know, I have been discussing with other ecosystem folks around optimistic rollups at large, and there's also a desire for client diversity at the optimistic rollup and probably ZK rollup level. And you know, since they're using some of the standard APIs, what could Basu as an execution client do to support that? And again, it's a little early, but I'm curious what people might think going forward, since we do support multiple chains now, and you know, what could it look like to kind of lean into that a little bit as we see more and more proliferation of these things? But pretty early for, especially for 22.7, this is probably like 2023 target stuff.
So I've been not paying attention to rollups for the past 6 months. Are they still doing custom fraud proofs, or is there a standardization? I really haven't paying a petition. Attention to optimistic to optimism, but is there some custom, are we going to have to redo our Patricia trees? I mean, we're gonna have to redo it for verticals, so that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, it's mostly about the block production aspect. They're basically hijacking a lot of the engine APIs. They're not necessarily doing the fraud proofs. Like, I don't think we'd have to change much of our state storage paradigm. And from what I've gathered, there's like 400 to 500 line diffs between what they're using on Geth and what we have now. So my presumption is that they haven't rewrit the state storage entirely. I need to do a little more discovery on what this actually looks like. But from my understanding, it would mostly be around, like, it wouldn't be outside. It would mostly be around block production and certain components within that, and using it to, you know, execute the large number of transactions. But I don't know how it would impact the state storage and stuff like that, and the fraud proofs. But from optimistic rollups, the answer is probably no, because they're not really doing it. You know, a lot of it's not really, this is kind of a social construct as it is opposed to a state storage construct. But for ZKPs, that from what I've gathered inside of consensus and otherwise, is that there might be some changes that we need to do, but for the most part, it's just piggybacking off of the engine API and basically pretending it's a CL client, and then running the rollup kind of elsewhere and using the execution layer for, you know, interaction with the L1 and certain other parts of that kind of process.
Are Optimism and Arbitrum still running sequencers? Have they got a plan to get off that yet?
No plan yet. They're still running these, you know, the beefy centralized sequencers. There's some proposals on how to kind of move that away, but for now, that's the de facto. And I don't even know how we would participate in that process. My guess is that we would not. Right. But I don't really know.
That's the biggest barrier to client diversity is the sequencers.
Yeah. And the fact that they're pretty impossible to run as like a normal user, just because the machine requirements are like pretty insane. But yeah, so this is kind of hijacking the discussion, but definitely something that I want to engage after the merge. Maybe Q4 is a good time to start discovery on this and see what that looks like. But it's pretty low priority, frankly, right now. I think we can move on, Grace.
Yeah. Good to know that it's coming down the pipe, but yeah, not soon. Cool. Open forum. Looks like these are old. Francesco, can we remove these from the next agenda? Sure. But yeah, open forum. What else would the group like to bring up?
Did we put the chit chat meetup on the calendar? Or we were just going to do that ad hoc in the Discord voice channel?
Let's put it on the calendar.
Thanks. Same time off week, right? Because that was the plan, right?
Yep. I think so.
Who would like to own that? Francesco, are you able to own that?
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, if you can add it to like the Hyperledger calendar, then the basic group, that'd be great.
Awesome. Thank you.
Anything else?
Hi, Grace. I think you can remove the deprecating log for shade 2 point.
Yes.
Just realized that. Thank you. Appreciate it. Two participants raise their hand. Who are they? I don't know who was first, Nico or Helen. Nico, go ahead.
Thanks. Just one small thing. I discussed with some colleagues who are doing some community support on Discord and trying to answer questions, mainly doc writers. And they told me that it was a bit hard for them to follow on the Discord with many things happening very fast. And so also the difficulty to find the questions and find the answers if you are new to the Discord and things like that. And we were wondering if, like some of the projects we have, we could have the GitHub discussion set up. I don't know if we already discussed that. I don't know if there's any reason why we don't have it. I just wanted to raise this question. And because the discussion in GitHub really helps categorizing the questions and see which one is answered or not. And it may help users not to ask the same question again and again. So that could leave the Discord to be just chatting and not really a knowledge base, which is it's not, and it's hard to handle this way. So I wanted to have your opinion.
We had discussions enabled at one point, right? Why did we disable those?
That's part of the question. I don't remember the history of this, and I just wonder if there was some very hard drawbacks or something like that. Just for an example, we have it on Gokuram, and it seems to work well. So I just wondered if that's an option or not.
I definitely appreciate the problem. I have run into this a lot where I am forced to use Discord as a knowledge base, which is terrible. So I agree it's a problem. I don't know that I have a solution that I want to propose.
Nico, do you have any documentation or maybe a proposal that people can react to kind of say yes, no, maybe to? Because I think likely the group agrees with the challenge, but it might be helpful.
Yeah, I don't. I could do that so we can list things if people already have experience with this and see some major blockers or something. So I'm just starting the discussion here.
Maybe a quick question, Nicola. Maybe we can add in the description of Discord, like, you know, before discussing any issue, would be great if you're creating a GitHub issue so that you can discuss directly in the link, something like that. It might be helpful for people, and we can redirect people.
But the issue with issues is that once it's created, it's landing on the developer's plate, and it's I think we should discuss before doing a GitHub issue, and the discussion is something separated from the issues, because I tend to think that the issues implies some necessary action from developers and community. So here is, it may be before, it may be just about the usage and not really an issue. It may just be a question or something, and a question that can be asked multiple times. And on Discord, as Justin said, it's very hard to, I think people don't even try to find a similar question on Discord. They just ask it again.
I'd be inclined to enable it and just kind of trial it. And if it works, work it into our processes and documentation. And it's kind of one of those, just try it and see if we like it.
The thing is that if we activate that, then we have to make sure everyone, or at least most people on the Discord, just redirect to this. So I don't know how we can do that easily. Make sure that people say, hey, go on the discussion if you have this question, and without being too rude or whatever.
We can probably make some kind of Discord bots that do something like that without too much trouble. If we determine a process, or if they like reference a GitHub link, it just is like, go talk about it here. Don't talk about it in the Discord. I don't know. It's tough with random questions like that to get people to actually write things down, or even just copy and paste.
Maybe we can try by doing that manually first, see if it has some impact, and then if we are sure it makes sense, we automate that.
Yeah, I think this could also tie into, in general, the fact that the Git is a little bit unwieldy right now, because it's hard for us to find issues, let alone end users who don't know.
But the thing is that it would not be into the issues directly. It would be
the discussion tab.
Another section.
All right. No, I'm
absolutely. The goal is also not to pollute the issues, because, as you said, there's already enough. I try to write something, a sort of proposal, and push that to the community. I think that that's the way. Some sort of action plan or something like that.
It also makes me feel like maybe we're not getting the most mileage out of our listserv either. I feel like the mailing list might be an easily searchable type of thing that people could go to see questions that have been asked or discussions that have already had. And I'm imagining they don't do it because we have a fairly low traffic listserv, right?
Yeah, plus maybe everything that's on email now is considered old technology or something like that.
Yeah, so. Agreed. So I've got a question, Nico, for your proposal to put a proposal and put it to the community. Are we asking for permission, or are we looking for interest, or what is it that we're expecting as the outcome of the proposal?
Because I don't think permission is required. I would expect some feedback and or some experience. I don't have much experience in running discussion on GitHub, so if there's pitfalls or obvious things we should make sure we don't do, that's what I'm expecting from some community feedback. And also make sure this process is fine for everyone. A lazy consensus may be enough, probably.
Would you put that out on Discord, or where would you publish that?
I would probably make the proposal on the wiki and then advertise it on Discord, yes.
Cool.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, and I think I like, Gary, your idea of giving it a shot. So Nico, don't spend hours on a proposal. Just,
No. It will be just a few lines to explain reasoning for that, and what are the expected outcomes, and what is the process we plan to put in place, that, for instance, we expect people to copy the link to the discussion whenever they have a question on Discord or something like that. But that's it.
Cool. Yeah. Just wanted to double check. So I was like, please don't, you know.
We could also possibly solicit an answer to the question of why it was enabled and then disabled. I kind of recall that Antoine enabled it at one point, but I don't know when it was disabled. So that might be a good question.
That's one of my questions, clearly. If there's something that made us disable it, I'd like to know why before doing the same mistake again.
Yep, makes sense. Yeah, might have some feedback around that too. Cool. Well, thank you, Nico. And yeah, good. Glad you raised this because it sounds like it's worth exploring and might give everyone a better experience. Thanks. Any other topics?
I think Ellen raised her hand at the same time.
Yes, sorry, Ellen.
Oh, Justin answered my question in the chat. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
All good.
Great. Then we can end here. Thanks for everyone's time. I think this was really productive, and we'll see you on Discord. Have a good one, guys. Oh, Francisco, you'll share the notes in the Discord too, just in case.
Yes, I'm just updating the pages.
Thank you very much. All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.